I wonder, does anyone use Twitter here? Anybody? No? There's a thing on Twitter called trending on Twitter. And it's essentially just the most popular topics or news stories that people are sharing across the world, the things that people are talking about. And I took a look to see what was trending on Twitter this week. And on Friday, hashtag FridayFeeling was trending, the top trending thing, with thousands of people sharing how happy they were to see the weekend. And then yesterday morning, hashtag Lions versus Murray was trending with rugby fans tuning in to see the big game. I wonder if I was to put up on the screen behind me a Twitter feed of all the things that you've been sharing this week, what would be trending in your life? Maybe some of these things might be hashtag I hate exams. Maybe you're past that stage. Maybe you're onto the hashtag summer plans 2017. Or maybe hashtag sport, sport, sport. Or hashtag new car, new clothes, new shoes, whatever it might be. I'm sure there have been so many things that we've been sharing with other people this week. But I wonder if you're a Christian tonight, how much of what you've been sharing with other people this week has been about the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ? You see, what we share with other people says so much about us as a person, about what we've set our hearts on, about the things that we are living for. And tonight, we're thinking about being missional, being on mission for Christ. And I want us to focus on what it looks like to share the good news of the gospel like Jesus Christ. Because in this passage that we just read in John 4, we get an incredible insight into what it looks like to share the good news of the gospel like Jesus Christ. It's an incredible life-changing encounter for this woman at the well. And as we look at it together, I want us to really focus on three things tonight. What's Christ's motivation to share? What's Christ's method in sharing? And what's the message that Christ actually shares? The motivation, the method, and the message. And as we look at Christ's example, I want to challenge you with this question tonight. Will sharing the good news of the gospel be trending in your life this summer? Will sharing the good news of the gospel be trending in your life this summer? So let's jump into our passage and let's look first of all at the motivation. The motivation. Jesus and his disciples, they've been taking this journey from Judea back to Galilee. And we see in verse 4 that they have to pass through Samaria. And they stop in a town along the way. Now Jesus sends his disciples off into the town to go to find food. But Jesus, who's exhausted from the journey, he takes a seat at a well in the middle of the town. And it's midday. And as he sits, verse 7 says, a Samaritan woman came to draw water from the well. Now, if you know your Bible, you'll know that a Jew and a Samaritan crossing paths is never too good. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. Even so much so that some strict Jews wouldn't even have taken this journey from Judea back to Galilee. They would have passed by on a much longer route to avoid having to go through Samaria, to avoid having to mix with the Samaritans. That's how deep the hatred went. But look at what Jesus does. He makes a radical move as this woman approaches the well. Verse 7 says he turns to her and he asks, "Will you give me a drink?" Now this is massive in this culture. Jesus is a Jew. She's a Samaritan. She's also a woman, and men didn't speak to women in this culture. Even husbands wouldn't have spoken to their own wives in public. And it's also a massive step because this woman is an outcast. Even in her own society, she's disliked. We know this because of the time of the day that she's come to the well. She's come at midday, the hottest part of the day. Usually women would have come together early in the morning. But she's come on her own at the hottest part of the day. So even her own people don't bother with her. But Jesus Christ does. He makes a massive move in initiating this conversation with this woman. And you can see just how shocked she is in verse 9 that Jesus has spoken to her. Look what she says to him. "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Even this woman wonders why Jesus has spoken to her. Surely he sees the list of reasons there are to turn around in his seat and just to pretend that she isn't there. Samaritan, woman, outcast. Poor reputation, disliked by others, not worth the bother. You see, while you and I see the list of reasons there are for Jesus not to talk to this woman, Jesus sees the one reason he would. Because as she approaches this well, Jesus doesn't just see a Samaritan or a woman or a social outcast. Jesus sees someone who is lost. Someone who's wandering aimlessly through life. Someone who's searching for direction. Someone who's in desperate need of rescue. And before we think of all the ways that we can share the message of the gospel with people this summer, before we can think about how we can go on mission like Jesus Christ this summer, we need to stop and we need to remember the way Jesus Christ once looked at us. Because at some point in your life, even if you've been a Christian for years, Jesus Christ looked at you and he saw you the way he saw this woman. And he felt the deep compassion for you like he did for this woman. He saw us all as lost and as in desperate need without him. Christ's motivation to speak to this woman comes from seeing the true state of her broken heart. You see, he isn't like us. He isn't judgmental, and he doesn't just focus on all the things he can see in the outside. And Jesus Christ doesn't let his emotions get in the way of sharing the gospel. He isn't concerned whether it's going to be awkward. He isn't concerned whether he's going to have to go out of his way and be uncomfortable in doing it. Christ is motivated by a deep desire to see all of our hearts made new in him. He's filled with compassion when he looks on each one of us. And that's why he speaks to this woman at this well in Samaria. The only way we will ever share the good news of the gospel like Christ this summer is if we share Christ's motivation to see the lost saved. Because sharing like Christ is tough. It's so much easier to stay quiet, isn't it? It's tough to put your neck on the line and to say something about believing in Jesus when you're the only Christian in your class. Or when you're in your rugby team and the banter has been thrown around and it's difficult to stand up for what you believe. Jesus Christ says to you tonight to pray to him this summer that he would give you eyes to see people like he does. That he would give you his heart, his compassion for people around you. The people that you will meet this summer in that part-time job. The people that you'll do pre-season training with. The young people that you will lead at that camp. Pray that God gives you eyes to see them like he does. And pray that he will give you a compassionate heart for them. That's Christ's motivation on mission here. His motivation to share the good news of the gospel with this woman. Let's look secondly at how Jesus shares the gospel with her. Or his method in mission. Let's look at the method. The first thing we see from the passage is that Jesus actually meets this woman where she's at. He goes to her, doesn't he? He goes to her town where she lives. He could have passed by Samaria. Many Jews would have done that. But in verse 4 it says he had to go through Samaria. It's almost like there's a reason Jesus has come here to this very well. He's been intentional about meeting this woman here. And because he meets her where she's at, in her town, she becomes more vulnerable with him. She lets him in. She's comfortable in her town. And it's actually like she has the upper hand here in the conversation. She is the one that's driving the conversation. She's the one that's asking the questions. It's clear that she doesn't really know who this man is. She comes to draw water from the well. And this strange Jewish man starts speaking to her, even though she knows he shouldn't. And then, to make things even more confusing for her, Jesus says to her in verse 10, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, You'd have asked him for a drink, and he'd have given you living water. Now put yourself in the woman's shoes for a moment. I've come to the well to draw water, and this strange man has spoken to me and asked me for a drink. But now he's saying that I should have asked him for a drink, and he's talking about some living water. What is this guy on about? And in her confusion, I just love the way she's so comfortable. She just blurts out to Jesus, "You don't even have a bucket to get water with. How can you get me a drink? Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it?" Jesus has grabbed her attention. You see, people don't usually treat her like this. And we see as the conversation goes on, she actually says that she wants what Jesus is offering. This woman isn't used to being treated like this. She's used to either being avoided or attacked. People refusing to spend time with her, or people ridiculing her for the life that she's living. But Jesus doesn't treat her like that. He doesn't judge her. He's compassionate towards her, and he shares his time with her. He gains her confidence by allowing her to ask the questions. He makes her feel comfortable by engaging in conversation with her to help her understand and see who he really is. He's like that teacher in school that we all love. The one that in their class we feel so comfortable and confident we can ask anything. No question is too silly for them. Ask, and they're always there to help. And Jesus does all this because he wants this woman to discover who he is and what he is offering. But he wants her to discover it for herself. You see, Jesus could jump straight to the fact that she's been living a totally immoral life, and here's all the ways that she needs to improve. Or he could jump to the fact that she's had a string of men behind her and that she needs to come to him now. But that's not Jesus' method in sharing the gospel with her. And I wonder sometimes, are we more concerned as Christians with our own comfort rather than meeting the needs of those people who don't know Jesus Christ? Are you willing to make yourself uncomfortable this summer to help someone come to know Jesus Christ for themselves? Will you be intentional about getting out there? About not just staying with your friends, your Christian friends all the time, but actually going to places that are more uncomfortable. Spending time with people who aren't yet believers. Spending time with people who don't know Christ is so important. Building friendships is key. Because how can we ever invite people to come to church? How can we ever invite them to a night like this if we don't invite them into our lives as well? How can we ever gain people's trust if we don't show them that we care for them? That they're not some project, that we love them as a person. And because we love them, we want to spend time with them, but also we want to share the gospel with them too. I've been close friends with a guy for about 10 years. We went to school together, played rugby together, and went to university. And we've always had this healthy Christian, non-Christian relationship where he knows that I'm a Christian, I know that he's not. And really, it's something that we don't go there. We don't really talk about. I know that he feels totally uncomfortable when the topic comes up. And so we just have never really spoken about it. And he's actually moved away now and he lives across the water. And over the last number of years, as I haven't seen him as much as I usually would, I've started to feel more and more, how can I love this guy as a friend? How can I be so close to him and yet never share with him what I believe to be true about Jesus Christ? If the Bible is true, and if I believe what it says in the gospel, then surely the most loving thing I can do is share with him something about Jesus Christ. Maybe you're someone that's been in a situation like that, and you've been wondering, how can I actually have a conversation? 10 years down the line, I was wondering, how can I ever get an opportunity to speak to this guy? It's just going to be awkward when I bring it up now. It's been so long. I've been spending time with him, yes. I've been sharing my life with him. I've shown him that I love him, but when's the opportunity ever going to come up? I've been praying for it, and I've been waiting. But when will it come? A couple of months ago, we were catching up together. And the conversation was great as usual. But it was only whenever the conversation was coming to an end that he mentioned something about a friend of ours not really knowing his purpose in life. And at that moment, I realized that God gave me an opportunity to ask a question. And so I said to him, "Well, what do you think your purpose is in life?" And in that question, that simple question, we had the first conversation in 10 years where I got to share with him what I believe to be true about the gospel, what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, who he is, why he came, and what it means for this guy. And the conversation didn't really go the way I'd hoped. He knew I was sharing it in love, but he said to me that he didn't appreciate it and he didn't want to speak about it again. You know, it's tough doing that. We wait for these opportunities, and sometimes whenever they don't go the way that we hope, we think, did I make the wrong call? Was it the right decision to say something about Christ? Was I right to ask that question? Would I change what happened with my friend that day? No. Because I love him. And more than anything else, I want him to know Jesus Christ like I do. And so I pray that we get an opportunity to speak about what we talked about that day. I pray that the conversation we had, that something within him, God speaks to him. The Holy Spirit works in his life. Will you be willing to ask a question that brings Jesus Christ into the picture? Because you love the person, and more than anything else, you want them to know Jesus Christ like you do. Jesus' method: be intentional about spending time with people. Meet them where they are at. Show them that you care. And be willing and ready to ask a question that brings Jesus into the picture. So thirdly and finally, let's look at what Jesus shares with this woman. Let's look at the message he shares. The message he shares. Now, throughout the conversation, Jesus' message has continually pointed to the gift that he offers, the gift of living water that only he can provide. Look at verse 10 and verses 13 and 14. Verse 10 says, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And verse 13 and 14, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." See, this woman is thirsty. Not just physically thirsty, but she's thirsty in life as well. And she's spent her whole life chasing this feeling of satisfaction. And apparently she's tried to find it in men. She's six men down, she's on to her sixth now. And this man she's now with, he's not even her husband. And we see this in verse 16 to 18, this string of men that Jesus asks her to go and bring her husband to him. And it's revealed that the man she's now with, he's not even her husband. And I'm sure at the start of every new relationship, she thought, "Do you know, maybe this one will be different. Maybe this time he'll be the one. Maybe this time I'll be truly happy." And I'm sure along the way, there were those moments of real joy and happiness. But it seems those moments haven't lasted. The feelings have faded. She's woken up time after time and thought, "Why hasn't my life changed? Will I ever truly be satisfied?" And Jesus says to her in verse 13, "If you keep drinking that water, you're always going to be thirsty. It will never satisfy you." And maybe you felt like this woman. Maybe you're chasing something in life. You're putting your time and your effort into getting it. And you know, when you get it, the feeling is amazing. It's incredible. You don't want the moment to pass. But the reality is that those moments do fade. They're here one moment, and then the next they're gone. Life moves on. And it feels sometimes like you're on this never-ending search to be satisfied in life. I don't know what it is that you're chasing after at the moment. Maybe it's success in your sport or in school. Maybe it's the acceptance of your friends. Maybe you just want to fit in with everyone else. You're buying the same clothes. You're getting the latest smartphone or laptop. You just want to feel part of it with everyone else. I don't know what it is that you're searching for. But just like Jesus knows this woman's issue, Jesus says to you tonight, I know your issue. I know what it is that you're searching for. And he says, like he said to this woman, he says to you tonight, if you keep drinking that water, you're always going to be thirsty. It will never truly satisfy you. But Jesus says to you tonight, I offer you the solution. He says, you know that life that you're chasing after? I can give it to you. I can give you what you're looking for. Look at what he says to her in verse 14. Whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you see the message Jesus has to share? Do you see the message that we have to share with a world that is thirsty tonight? Jesus says, I can give you what you're looking for. If you come to me, if you trust in me, if you believe that I have the living water that will satisfy you deep down in your soul. Imagine finding what you're searching for. No more restlessness, no more emptiness. Imagine feeling totally secure in the way that you look. Imagine being able to work as hard as you can at school, being competitive, training hard in your sport, being passionate and driven in everything that you do, but all the time knowing that whatever the outcome, you're accepted by Jesus Christ. You don't feel this constant need to prove yourself. That's what life is like, knowing Jesus Christ. Trusting in him, worshipping him, living for him. That's the only way to be truly satisfied in life. And maybe you're asking, well, how can I trust him tonight? How do I know that he can give this life to me? Well, look at what Jesus says, or when this woman realizes in verse 28 and 29 who Jesus really is. Who she's been speaking to this whole time. Jesus Christ, the Messiah. The one sent by God to offer this true life. The one sent by God to rescue us from this life of dissatisfaction, this broken life that we all find ourselves in. Jesus Christ says, I'm the one who's come to give you new life. And the moment the woman tastes this living water, her life is totally transformed. She's not thirsty anymore. She actually leaves her water jar and goes straight back to her town to tell the rest of the people that she lives with who she has met and what she has found. The life that she has because of meeting Jesus Christ. Look what she says in verse 29. Come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? Can you imagine what would be trending in this woman's Twitter feed after meeting Jesus at this well? Hashtag, he knows everything about me. Hashtag, he still loves me. Hashtag, new life in Jesus Christ. She has new life in Christ, and her heart is bursting to tell others the good news. Why? Because she wants them to come and to see Jesus for themselves, to meet him and to receive the life that only he can offer. And maybe tonight is the night that you encounter Jesus Christ for the first time. Maybe tonight is the night that you come to him and you realize who Jesus really is. You realize the gift of life that he offers to you, the living water that's found in him. Jesus says to you, come to me. Come to me and take a drink of this water tonight. Trust in me. Believe that I am the one that can give this life to you. Believe that I can satisfy you both now, in this life, and forever in eternity. Or maybe you're someone that just needs to be reminded of the life that Jesus Christ has given to you. You've tasted this water before. You know the satisfaction of trusting in Christ and living for Him that it brings. But maybe you just need to be reminded of the grace and the mercy that Jesus Christ has shown to you. Of the life that you have because of Him. Maybe you need to go back to that well tonight where you first encountered Jesus Christ. Because if you know Christ, if you believe in Him and if you follow Him, then Jesus Christ calls you to go out like He called this woman, to share the good news of the gospel with those people that you meet, to let them know just who Jesus is, to let them know about the life that's found in Him. Jesus Christ wants your heart to be bursting tonight as you leave and as you embark on this summer of mission for Him, wherever you will be, whoever you will meet. Verse 39 is an amazing way to finish. Look at what it says. Many people came to know Christ in Samaria through the woman's testimony. Do you believe that many people in this town, in Bangor, can come to know Jesus Christ through your testimony? Imagine the news about Jesus Christ going viral in your school, or being the top trending thing amongst your friends, the chat amongst your friends. Will you share the good news of the gospel like Jesus Christ this summer? Wherever you'll be, whoever you'll meet, will it be the top trending thing in your life? Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came to this earth, that He humbled Himself and lived among us, and that He went to the cross and He died for us. Lord, I thank You for the mercy that You've shown to us, that Jesus Christ has come to this earth and died for each one of us. If we believe in Him, that by His death and resurrection, we can have new life in You. And Lord, I pray for us this summer, if we're Christians here, that we would be bursting like this woman to go to wherever You've called us to go, to share this good news of the gospel to people that need to hear it. There is no greater news that people need to hear. This is the most important thing that we can share with people. And I pray, Lord, that You would give us eyes to see people like Jesus Christ, that our hearts would be compassionate towards those that don't know You, that we would be willing to spend time with others so that they come to know who Jesus Christ really is. And Lord, I pray for anyone who doesn't know You tonight. I pray that the message of the gospel, of who You are, of the gift of life that You offer, this living water, that it would be so clear for people tonight, that they would come and taste this living water and trust in You as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, that they would share this great news with other people, the people that they meet, the people that we share life with. Lord, I pray that You would make us bold so that we can share the good news of the gospel wherever we go. I pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen.